So Genesis chapter 30, but before we start, I'm actually going to read something out of the book of Ruth. So the book of Ruth is right after Judges. Ruth chapter 4, and in verse 11, this is after Boaz marries Ruth. It says in verse 11, and all the people that were in the gate and the elders said, "We are witnesses. The Lord make the woman that has come into thine house like Rachel and like Leah, which too did build the house of Israel, and do thou worthily in Ephratah and be famous in Bethlehem." So he mentions Rachel and Leah, and he says, which two did build the house of Israel. That is kind of what we're going to read about today. It's a very interesting chapter. As we've gone through the book of Genesis, we've seen a lot of interesting chapters, a lot of messy situations, a lot of family drama. And I don't watch a lot of TV, but I'm sure you probably still see a lot of this on TV today. You might know people that have gone through some interesting family situations. It's still happening. Our world is kind of messed up still. But there are some really good things that we can see in this chapter. Actually, before we get started in chapter 30, let's back up a little bit and just talk about what happened in the previous chapter. So we know that Jacob, he had gotten the birthright from his brother. His brother was okay with selling it, but Jacob kind of cheated his brother out of it. He really did. He took advantage of his brother. And then, later on, he did something even worse. He deceived his father and said, "Hey, I'm Esau. I'm thy firstborn." And so he deceived his father. And then we saw in chapter 29, well, what a man sows, he'll also reap. And we see a little bit of poetic justice. Jacob had deceived his father, and now he gets deceived by his father-in-law. Okay, he says, "I'm the firstborn, and I should get the blessing." But then, in chapter 29, he meets these two daughters. Like, I want the younger one, and the father-in-law says, "Oh, too bad, you get the firstborn instead." So that ends up happening. I made a little timeline on here just to show the time that Jacob spends in Padan Aram with his father-in-law Laban, who's also his uncle. This is where it starts. This is where he comes there, and after a month, Laban says, "Hey, are you going to serve me for nothing? I'll pay you something. What do you want?" He says, "I'll serve thee 7 years for Rachel, thy younger daughter." So they make this deal, they make this arrangement, and Jacob serves 7 years for Rachel, but then comes the wedding night, and they don't have lights in the house, you know, they're probably in a tent. It's dark, can't see very well, just like his father couldn't see very well. And Laban kind of swindles them and gives him the firstborn daughter, Leah, instead of Rachel. And he doesn't know it till the morning. So then he says to Laban, "Hey, what did you do? I served you for 7 years for Rachel. You gave me Leah." He's like, "Well, we in our country, we don't give the younger before the firstborn. So you got the firstborn instead." Yeah. But then he says, "You know what? I'll give you Rachel too." And he does. He gives them both at the same time. So he's got two wives now instead of just one. But he also says, "You're going to serve me another 7 years for Rachel. If you want her, you can have her now. But now you've got to serve another 7 years." And Laban's kind of taken advantage of Jacob, obviously. But he also sees that God is blessing the work that Jacob does, and he wants to keep Jacob around as long as he can. And you'll see that later in this chapter. But anyway, the end of chapter 29, starting in verse 31, it says, "And when the Lord saw that Leah was hated, he opened her womb, but Rachel was barren." Again, it's not like Jacob like despised Leah and just wanted nothing to do with her. It's just that he loved Rachel more. Rachel was his first choice. Rachel was the girl that he wanted to marry. So he ends up with these two wives. It's not a good situation. We talked about that last time. And Jacob loved Rachel more than Leah. But when the Lord saw that Leah was hated, he opened her womb. He had mercy on her, and he gave her children. And we see at the end of this chapter that she bears him three sons. And there's a pattern. Verse 32, Leah conceived and bare a son, and she called his name Reuben, for she said, "Surely the Lord hath looked upon my affliction." And we're going to see these two themes that are going to continue here and throughout the next chapter. The two themes are, well, one, I'm praising God. I'm recognizing that God's hand is in this. And you know what? He saw that I was hated and he had mercy on me. And he answered my prayer. But at the same time, I'm desperate for my husband's affection. Jacob ends up married to these two daughters, and I ask myself, well, which one do I feel bad for? And honestly, both, for two different reasons. It wasn't fair to either one of them. It's not fair that Leah's married to this man who's more interested in her sister. And she's desperate for his affection, and she says, "Surely the Lord hath looked upon my affliction. Now therefore my husband will love me." She wants to be loved by her husband. That's something you're supposed to have when you're married. I was thinking about it. There's really two main reasons why you get married. One is because you love someone. You love this person. You want to be with them. You want to have them for your companion. And the other reason is so you can have children and you can raise up a family. And ideally, you have one wife and you have both of these things with her. Not two different wives, and one's your companion and one's the mother of your children. That's messed up. So we got kind of a bad situation here. But Leah, we can see her pattern is that she's recognizing God in all this. Verse 33, she conceived again and bare a son and said, "Because the Lord hath heard that I was hated, he therefore given me this son also." And she called his name Simeon. And she conceived again and bare a son and said, "Now this time will my husband be joined unto me, because I have borne him three sons." Therefore was his name called Levi. So you can see both. The Lord heard me, so he gave me a son. And then she bears a third son and says, "Surely this time my husband's finally going to love me. He's finally going to be joined to me." And then verse 35, and she conceived again and bare a son. And she said, "Now will I praise the Lord." Therefore, she called his name Judah and left bearing. So she bears four sons. And again, they both became his wives at the same time. So all this happens, and then chapter 30 starts. It says, and when Rachel saw that she bare Jacob no children, Rachel envied her sister and said unto Jacob, "Give me children or else I die." Well, like I said, God ends up putting this in the law later on to say, don't take a woman and her sister as your wives, because it's going to vex them. And that's what you see here. They're both envious. More Rachel here. Leia just, I mean, she's, I wouldn't say she's really envious. She's more jealous. Leia's jealous because Rachel is the one with Jacob's affection. Rachel's envious of her sister because her sister has all the children and she doesn't have any. And she's really getting frustrated here. And she said to her husband, "Give me children or else I die." That's kind of an unreasonable demand. Obviously, Jacob wants to have children with Rachel. She's the one that he wanted to marry in the first place. So she makes this unreasonable demand. And notice Jacob's response. So verse 2, Jacob's anger was kindled against Rachel. And he said, "Am I in God's stead, who hath withheld from thee the fruit of the womb?" So his response is, hey, first of all, he's mad. He's angry. Why are you taking this out on me? It's not my doing that your womb is closed. I haven't withheld anything from you. We've been together all this time, and what else can I do? He says, "Am I in God's stead?" This is about his work. This is about what he does. This is something that I have no control over. And you can see back in the last chapter, verse 31, when the Lord saw that Leah was hated, he opened her womb. That was his work. God can do that. And then Jacob said, "Who hath withheld from thee the fruit of the womb?" God is opening Leah's womb and withholding fruit from Rachel. Why? Again, I think just like Jacob and Esau were two manner of persons, Leah and Rachel were also two manner of persons. You're going to see a pattern here of Leah. She has a son. She's praising God. Like, she actually has a relationship with God. Rachel is still kind of not there yet. And you can see her reaction. She's not thinking about God. She's thinking about, "Hey, husband, give me children." He's like, "I'm doing all I can. It's out of my hands." Verse 3, so this might sound a little familiar because we've seen something like this before. Verse 3, and she said, "Behold, my maid Bilhah, go in unto her, and she shall bear upon my knees, that I may also have children by her." Sound familiar? Who else did that? It was Sarai, Abraham's wife. And she gave Hagar the Egyptian, her handmaid, to her husband, and later regretted that decision. Well, Rachel has the same idea. And in verse 4, she gave him Bilhah, her handmaid, to wife, and Jacob went in unto her. So I think Jacob accepts Rachel's plan because he's just trying to calm her down. He's trying to make her happy, give her what she wants. The Bible mentions a couple times in the book of Proverbs, it is better to dwell in the corner of a housetop than with a brawling woman in a wide house. You want to have peace at home. It's very precious. You want to keep your wife happy. And Jacob wanted to keep his wife happy. I don't know if he was really into this plan, but he accepted it for her sake. So verse 5, and Bilhah conceived and bare Jacob a son. And Rachel said, "God hath judged me and hath also heard my voice and hath given me a son. Therefore called she his name Dan." So at first glance, you look at that verse and say, oh, she's praising God just like her sister. Not really. So she credits God, but this is more lip service, okay? her heart is not really with the Lord at this point. And I think what she's doing, again, you look back at what Sarai did with Hagar. God had promised them that there would be a seed, that Abraham would have a son in his old age. They're looking at each other like, well, this isn't really happening. So Sarai has this idea, well, I'll give you my maid. We're going to do something. We're going to get involved with our own hands, and we're going to make this thing happen. We're going to fulfill the plan of God here. We're going to do it our way. And that's kind of what Rachel did, is she's like, well, I want children. I'm going to do it my way. I'm going to get involved. I'm going to work this thing out. And then I think she's trying to be like her sister and kind of appear spiritual. So she says, well, see, God judged me. What she said, when she says God judged me, she's not saying God did something bad to me. What she's saying is, I'm right. I'm just. God looked at my situation and said, you deserve a son. And that's not the case. This is something that she went and got by her own hand, in her own way, and God wasn't in this. And you can see Rachel's attitude throughout this passage. The next verse, verse 7, and Bilhah, Rachel's maid, conceived again and bare Jacob a second son. And Rachel said, with great wrestlings have I wrestled with my sister, and I have prevailed. And she called his name Naphtali. So she's like, you know what? This is a competition. My sister has children. I need to have children. By any means, even if I need to get some other woman to have children on my behalf. Ah, I got a second one. I've wrestled with my sister and I prevailed. See, I got two now. See, look at that. You can see that's what she's doing. I've wrestled with my sister and I have prevailed. And then Leah gets involved in this too, and the competition starts to heat up. Verse 9, when Leah saw that she had left bearing, she took Zilpah, her maid, and gave her Jacob to wife. And Zilpah, Leah's maid, bare Jacob a son. And Leah said, a troop cometh. And she called his name Gad. And I'll talk about the names later on when we finish up. But verse 12, and Zilpah, Leah's maid, bare Jacob a second son. And Leah said, happy am I, for the daughters will call me blessed. And she called his name Asher. And notice, once she starts doing this, she starts leaving God out of it. She's like, oh, this is happening, this is happening. I'm going to be happy. Hey, here comes another troop. Let's go. Like, we're fighting this battle, me and my sister. And it looks like Leah is stooping to Rachel's level here.
Right.
Hey, God's not giving me any more children, but you know what? My sister's starting to catch up. I gotta get some more. Here's my maid. Take her. Jacob came to this land to get one wife. Now he's got four. This is a mess. but God is still gonna use it, and he's still gonna work through it. Notice the paragraph markings here. So paragraph markings in your Bible, they are significant. The whole first part of this chapter up until verse 13 is all one paragraph. I know some Bibles don't have the paragraph markings. So just to let you know, if that's the case, there's a new paragraph starting in verse 14. And then there's another one starting in verse 22. Okay. So a new paragraph is starting. We've just gone through this whole wrestling match, Rachel and Leah going back and forth. And then we get this little story between verses 14 to 21. And it says, and Reuben went in the days of wheat harvest. So Reuben is Leah's firstborn. Reuben went in the days of wheat harvest and found mandrakes in the field and brought them unto his mother Leah. So let's talk about this for a minute. What is a mandrake? So a mandrake is a plant. It's a root. The root of it is kind of peculiar in that it tends to have a shape that looks like a man. The bottom of the root usually splits and it ends up looking like two legs. And that's why it's called a mandrake, because the root often looks like a man. Because of that similarity, there's been a lot of superstitions over the ages about what's this plant that looks like a man. It's got to have some significance. And for some cultures, it was used as like a talisman. In other cultures, it was used for different things, or people had these ideas about maybe it has magical powers or something. It actually is poisonous. It's got a poison that's has some interesting effects. It could be used as like an anesthetic if it's mild enough. You don't want to take too much of this thing because it's poisonous. But it could be used as like an anesthetic. It could be used as like a sleep aid. It could help put you to sleep. And there's some speculation. I mean, it's a real historical thing that the speculation existed, which I think is what you're seeing here. It was used as a fertility aid. And that's the context here. So they find these, Reuben goes out, he finds these plants, he brings them to his mother, Leah. At the end of verse 14, then Rachel said to Leah, give me, I pray thee, of thy son's mandrakes. So she's thinking, okay, well, I mean, this actually makes me think of like going back to Adam and Eve in the garden. Their eyes were open. They ate the fruit. Their eyes were open. They knew they were naked. So what do? They sew aprons of fig leaves to cover themselves. But then God comes walking along and they hide themselves. Why? They knew they were still naked. They tried to cover it up. They tried to pretend it wasn't so, but they knew the truth. They were still naked. And they needed God's covering. Here, Rachel says, hey, I've gotten these sons, but actually they're the sons of her maid. They're not really hers. And Rachel, she claims that they're hers. She claims that they're from God and it's his judgment and everything. But deep down inside, she wants her own children with her husband. And it hasn't happened. And she's getting desperate and she's willing to turn to other things now. So she sees these mandrakes, and she's hoping that they'll help her to conceive. So, and you know what? I don't know. Maybe they do. Maybe they have some kind of something that makes something happen. You're going to see something like this actually happen later on in this chapter with Jacob and the cattle. But anyway, that's her intention, that she wants to take these mandrakes and, I don't know, make a tea or make a medicine or something, or do something that's going to help her to conceive. And this is really interesting. So we had that transaction between Jacob and Esau before, where Esau has something really valuable. He's got the birthright, but he is so desperate for something lesser that he's going to trade the important thing for the lesser thing. And Rachel actually kind of does something similar here. Verse 15. So she asks her sister Leah for the mandrakes. And Leah said unto her, verse 15, is it a small matter that thou hast taken my husband? And wouldst thou take away my son's mandrakes also? So this is Leah's perspective. He's my husband. I've been trying so hard to get his affection. I married him first. He's my husband. But his affection is with you. Like, I got one thing going for me. I'm actually bearing him children. And And she just wants her husband's affection. And it seems like she's saying, Rachel, you already have the important, the better thing. You have Jacob's affection. He wants to be with you all the time. You have that, and now you want to take my mandrakes too, that my son just brought me? So Rachel makes a deal. And Rachel said, therefore, he shall lie with thee tonight for thy son's mandrakes. And Jacob came out of the field in the evening, and Leah went out to meet him and said, thou must come in unto me, for surely I have hired thee with my son's mandrakes. And he lay with her that night. So again, I see something very similar to the transaction that happened before. Rachel has the better thing. She's got the husband. She has his heart. And she's the one spending every night with him, it looks like. And she says, you know what? I'll give you him if I can have those mandrakes so that I can try and conceive and get my own children. So they make that deal, and it says he lay with her that night. Notice what happens. Rachel's plan is, I'm going to use these mandrakes, and I'm going to get pregnant, and I'm going to have some children. Verse 17, and God hearkened unto Leah. Not Rachel. Leah. And she conceived and bare Jacob the fifth son. This is specific, it's intentional, this is an act of God. God hearkened unto her. Her womb was actually closed. She had left bearing before. And when God sees this, it's like again that justice that God brings about. We saw before that Esau despised his birthright, and he sold that away. And I think God is looking at this situation and saying, you know what? Leah's after the more important thing. She'll give away the mandrakes, but she wants the husband. And God hearkened to her, and he did something for her. And she conceived and bare Jacob the fifth son. Verse 18. And Leah said, God hath given me my hire, because I have given my maiden to my husband. And she called his name Issachar. And Leah conceived again, and bare Jacob the sixth son. And Leah said, God hath endued me with a good dowry. Now will my husband dwell with me, because I have borne him six sons. And she called his name Zebulun. So Jacob goes there to get a wife. He ends up with four wives. Four wives. Leah ends up having six out of the 12 tribes. She has six sons. The other three wives each only have two. Leah is like... So I know we talked a little bit about the difference between a proper wife and a concubine. These two maids that are given to Jacob, they're the concubines. It's going to call them that later on. They're kind of like lesser wives. They don't really have the status of a real wife. They're just kind of, I hate to say it this way, but they're just kind of used for having children. And that's what you see in this chapter. But Jacob's got like two main wives, Leah and Rachel. His interest was in marrying Rachel, not Leah. However, Leah ends up being like the main wife. As odd as that sounds, she ends up being like the main wife. You're going to see this later on also when they're buried. Abraham and Sarah were buried together in the cave of Machpelah, which he purchased from the sons of Heth. Isaac and Rebekah, his only wife, was buried in the same place, guess who also gets buried there? It's Jacob and Leah, not Rachel. So I think it's just kind of God showing us this, the pattern, like, actually, they're the ones that this is the way it should have been. Okay, she was the main wife. Something happened. There was some deception. Jacob ends up marrying Leah. I think he should have just said, okay, well, here's my wife. I got what I deserved, and here's my wife, and let's go back home. But he really, really wanted Rachel, and then all this stuff ensues. Anyway, so we go through all that. Leah has six sons, and then verse 21, it says, afterwards she bare a daughter and called her name Dinah. They might have had more children than these 12 boys and this one girl. I think Dinah's mentioned specifically here because there's going to be a little story about her later on. But it is interesting what her name means, and I'll get to that in a couple minutes. But anyway, verse 22, we have another paragraph beginning here, and this story that we've been reading, it does kind of have there's some light at the end of the tunnel for Rachel. Verse 22, it says, and God remembered Rachel, and God hearkened to her and opened her womb. And we talked about this before when we talked about how God remembered Noah, God remembered Lot. It doesn't mean that he forgot about him. And then just one day he's, oh, man, I remember that guy that I put in that boat over there. Let's go visit him. No, God had him in mind all the time. But then when the time came for God to do something according to his plan, it says God remembered him. And then he went and did what he was going to do. In this case, God remembered Rachel. It's not like he forgot about her all this time. God was waiting for her to do something before he would step in. Verse 22, God remembered Rachel and God hearkened to her. What does that mean? God hearkened to her? What does that mean? Hearken, it means to hear. God listened to her. Well, what does that require? Requires that she said something. He's waiting for her to call out to him. Instead of turning to these other women to have her children, instead of trading for these mandrakes so she can be fertile, he's waiting for her to call out to him and say, God, please help me. I need you. Once she does that, God hearkens to her and he remembers her and he opened her womb. So Rachel, through all this stuff, it's a messy situation. She does things that she probably shouldn't have done. But through all this, her heart is starting to change. And she's starting to turn toward God and realize, I need God. I don't need all these other things. So verse 23, and she conceived and bare a son and said, God hath taken away my reproach. And this time, she's not lying. This time, she's not pretending. God hath taken away my reproach. And she called his name Joseph and said, the Lord shall add to me another son. How'd she know that? It's almost like she kind of knows something from the Lord. The Lord's going to do something else for me. I know it. Well, how did she know that? Well, because now she has a relationship with God. She's called out to him and he's answered her. And now she's starting to have some fellowship with God and get a little bit of understanding, prophetic understanding even, it would seem. So that is as far as we're going to get today. Before we wrap this up, I just want to go over some of these names. So we mentioned 11 out of the 12 sons. There's still one coming later on. His name is Benjamin. But let's just go through them one at a time and and just talk about what their names are. So the first one is Reuben, that was born to Leah in chapter 29. And she said, "Surely the Lord hath looked upon my affliction." And the name Reuben, it basically means "behold a son" or "see a son." Like the Lord looked on me and now I've got something to show for it. See, I have a son. Simeon means "hearing." She said, "The Lord hath heard that I was hated." So she called his name Simeon, hearing. Levi, "Now this time will my husband be joined unto me, because I have borne him 3 sons. And Levi means joined. And then the fourth son, she conceived again and bare a son. And she said, "Now will I praise the Lord." Therefore, she called his name Judah. And Judah means praise. Then we start to see, so Rachel gives her handmaid to Jacob, and she conceives and bears a son. And again, I mentioned this before, but she called his name Dan, which means judging. This is God's judgment. He's looked on me, and he saw that I'm the one suffering here, and man, I deserve this son. God's judged me now. And she calls his name Dan, judging. But like I said, this seems to be more lip service. This is not actually God's work. This is her work. Naphtali, the second boy born to Bilhah, she says, "With great wrestlings I have wrestled with my sister, and I have prevailed." And she called his name Naphtali, which means wrestling, my wrestling. This is my wrestling match with my sister. Then Leah gives her handmaid to Jacob, and she bears him a son. And she said, "A troop cometh," and she called his name Gad. I don't know whether he just made so much fuss on the way out that she's like, "Man, that's a troop. A troop is coming out." That's what I think as I read it. Leah wasn't the one having the son. Again, this was her her maid Zilpah. And then the next one, verse 13, "And Leah said, Happy am I, for the daughters will call me blessed." And she called his name Asher, which means happy. Then she has, after the ordeal with the mandrakes, verse 18, she says, "God hath given me my hire, because I have given my maiden to my husband." And she called his name Issachar, which means an hire. The next son, verse 20, "God hath endued me with a good dowry. Now will my husband dwell with me. Now will my husband dwell with me." And that's where this meaning comes from. She called his name Zebulun, which means dwelling. And then the last son that is mentioned here, she called his name Joseph and said, "The Lord shall add to me another son." And again, I think that's a prophetic understanding that she had, that God was going to give her a second son who is going to come later. That's going to be Benjamin. But this one, she names him Joseph, which means adding. The last son that's going to come along later, his mother's going to name him Benoni, which I think it means like suffering or son of pain. But Jacob is going to change his name to Benjamin, which means son of my right hand. There is that daughter that I mentioned in verse 21. Her name is Dinah. And her name means judgment. And you can see there's a connection between the name Dan, judging, and Dinah, judgment. And if you look at them in Hebrew, you can see there's similarities in the letters. But it seems like, and it doesn't say why she was named that, but it seems like Rachel, when she's talking about the judgment of God, she's kind of like fabricating it. She's like, "Hey, you know, God judged me," but it wasn't really what she was saying. But later on, Leah has a daughter, calls her name Dinah, and I think she's kind of saying it the same way, but actually meaning it. Because you can see throughout this whole passage that she was constantly going to God and praising God, and God was answering her prayer and really was judging her for good. So that's as far as we're going to get today. We'll pick it up next time in verse 25. And thank you for being in Sunday school.